Blog Talk Radio.
Trying to jam with us again, Bill. They kept us 20 minutes. No, actually 10 minutes and then 20 minutes. Tuesday.
Well, we're back on now, so let's appreciate the time we got. Again, thanks for everybody that's going to be tuning in tonight. I'm going to say thanks. Really, but the people could listen to the show later on. You know what? Email us, fax us, anything you want to talk about. Some people in Europe, East Coast, can't always catch the show because of time constraints. Screwdriver and I will talk about anything. We'll try to answer anything we can. We've got a few programs going on. John Del Santo is going to be nice enough to call us in more about the California laws that keep affecting us.
Mm-hmm. We're back on motorcycle checkpoints, Bill.
Yeah, we know it's illegal. Yeah,
exactly.
Why we can't convince them it's illegal. Talk about profiling.
Right.
You're on a motorcycle going down the road. I wonder if they're going to pull over every Yamaha, Kawasaki.
No.
I bet you they're going to be. A lot of it will be Harley Davidson.
Yep.
And I bet you a lot of guys, black full-face helmet, black motorcycles, and I bet you a lot of Dyna-Glides are going to be pulled over. What a coincidence there.
Yeah, exactly. I'm getting to know them all by name.
Yeah. We got some events coming up here. You're going to do the Queen Mary route, is that correct?
Right, that's July 17th.
Though. Yeah.
But the thing I wanted to talk about was we're gonna have a thing for Wink, a benefit for Wink up in L.A. Actually, here, let me get to it.
Wink, by the way, was the land speed record holder for the motorcycle, and on coming back from one of his runs when he was being towed back, I guess he had a slight accident. Unfortunately, the Streamliner probably rolled on top of him. Somewhat good information on that. He had more injury from that. Made a safe run at 200 miles an hour plus, but being towed back at slow speeds, the damn thing caught him. So it's dangerous no matter what you do out there.
Right.
But if you know Wink, you see Wink at an event, walk up, say hello to him. He's one of the nicest guys there are. You and I and Wink were at an event 2 weeks ago up there, the Bikers Against Diabetes. And Wink was out there running around his electric scooter, but he's still hanging in there.
Right.
We had a chance to talk to T-Rod. Another one.
That's correct. Yeah, T-Rod also got to meet
Karen Davidson.
Yeah.
T-Rod's got an interesting person. He's got a Harley Davidson in his little sidecar.
Right.
And he's doing sidecar racing. He's also doing Speedway, right?
Speedway.
Yeah. We believe this is the first Harley Davidson in a sidecar or in a Speedway race type of program. If you haven't watched those sidecar races with the monkey hanging off the side, it's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing better and better. I hear he's tuning the bike in, getting better at more places and all that.
Yes.
And you can reach him at Illusion Motorcycles up there, and you can always catch that in our program here, right?
That's correct.
Yeah.
And, what I'm trying to do, Bill, is I'm trying to get...
Yeah, I'm watching you. I'm
trying to get to the flyer right now.
Yeah. Talking about Wink's get-together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wink's around for a long time. I don't mean Wink's sound like an old guy, but he's been doing racing motorcycles... And racing motorcycles and racing motorcycles. I used to tease him a little bit. He's lost a little bit of weight now.
That's correct.
I told him he lost the weight just so he could go faster.
That's correct. Well, you know what we'll do, Bill?
We'll go back to that later.
No, we'll call T-Rod. But after we get done talking, we'll call T-Rod.
Yeah, all right.
T-Rod can get P-Rod can give the right skinny because he's going to be working on a bike when we call him. So.
All right. But T-Rod's going to be up there for the event, too.
That's correct.
And
there's going to be a lot of people up there for the event.
Yeah. It's a celebrity who's who. Mm-hmm. It's going to be some movie stars, TV stars, but it's going to be bikers up there supporting another biker that went down.
That's correct.
And he's a pretty special guy. I'd be proud if you work on my motorcycle. That says a lot right there.
Yeah, but you don't like to go that fast.
You should not be irritating me about how fast you go.
Yeah, I know.
All right, then. All right. So what did you do all week? You're still
working.
Doing new ships? Any
working,
ships coming
yeah.
up there?
Yeah, the Vincent came in yesterday.
You know, my nephew came off the Vincent. I think he's in town. I'm looking for a quick phone call.
Mm-hmm.
I got a couple of nephews in the Navy, both of them in the martial art cage fighting, and I think one of them came in, so I'll probably go to my house visiting me. I want to say hello to all the sailors that came home.
That's
glad everybody get back safe.
Also, that was the ship that they dropped Ben Laden.
Ben Laden, I was going to say, yeah.
And
wouldn't it be cool if one of the sailors switched the body with something, just some trash or something, kept Ben Laden on the ship? That'd be kind of cool.
Yep.
I'm having a lot of problems downtown with the traffic and the police. How you doing downtown?
Oh, same thing. Same thing. And just so, I'll share some with you, Bill.
Talk to me.
What are you going to be doing Saturday, Bill?
This Saturday?
Yeah.
Let me think. Oh, I got to pick up little Rick. He's getting out of the hospital. His hip and leg were replaced and all that.
Okay.
What are you doing Saturday?
It's Saturday. I don't give a fuck.
Well, for Rick's sake, I better give a fucking pick him out of the hospital because he is ready to go.
Yeah, and when you pick him up, he can say you can tell him we're leaving, and he can tell you I don't give a fuck.
No, he wants to get out of there.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
I know he's not listening to the show because he doesn't have a system in there, but I had a friend of mine in from Germany today, and I had her call up the hospital, and she got pretty a little bit risque with him, so I'm sure he's blushing like hell. Unfortunately for Brother Rick, she's on her way back to Germany another day, so we will never get a chance to meet her. But Heidi, you're a good girl for your message to little Rick.
Yeah. Oh, you did it by the phone, Bill?
Oh, yeah.
You draw the poor guy nuts on the phone?
Yeah, well, you know. He's not doing bad up there. He's up in Rancho Bernardo, a very rich neighborhood. And he's at one of the most prestigious rehab centers up there. And everybody up there is some type of a Cambodian or a Laotian or something, and they're all the same height,
mm-hmm.
they're all the same age, they're almost all drop-dead gorgeous, so he's doing okay for himself.
That's good.
They call him Blue Eyes. He's one of the, no other bikers in there but him. That's kind of interesting. He's having a good time, but he's ready to go home. We haven't started his bike up. We don't know when he can ride the bike. He's going to be at my house for 30 days recovering from the rehab center.
Mm-hmm.
Then he's going to go back in, they got to do his little leg. So we don't know what the doctor's going to say about the motorcycle, if he can ride anymore at all. They're sure he's got the strength going forward, but side to side is going to be a problem.
Right.
So, I'm at a loss for words here. I don't know.
Yeah, I had a guy on the other night, Bill. His name is Frank Palangi. He's a musician from the East Coast.
Yeah.
He plays some really good shit. And if you want to hear one of them.
Yeah, what the heck.
We'll play one now while we're waiting for...
Anybody want to jump in and get involved here a little bit? Bill, screwdriver now, a little...
the number is 347-826-7753.
Did everybody hear that?
Say it again.
I don't have a clue.
847-826-7753, Bill.
Somebody needs to pick the phone up. Because in a few minutes, we're going to bring Dr. Love in. And Dr. Love wants you to pick up that phone, little girl, and call Dr. Love. Dr. Love wants to hear what you have to say. Dr. Love's here for you. Dr. Love doesn't want any man...
Did you have a lonely day today at the shop?
It was a strange day.
Nobody called you? Is that what it was?
It was a strange day. Well, actually, one guy called up and said, is this that gray-haired man with the beautiful face that wears all black? I said, no, I don't know who that guy is, man.
He had phone trouble at that point?
I don't know what was actually going on. So I said, that guy doesn't work there anymore.
Okay.
It was a weird day today.
Well, we have...
what do we got?
I got Frank loaded up here, Bill. This song is called It's All Right.
He's East Coast?
He's East Coast.
What city?
He's out of Albany, New York.
No, New York, all right.
This is It's All Right by Frank Belanger.
Bad, you know, you think he's more ballad, he's more hard rock and roll?
No, as a matter of fact, Bill,
he's online now.
We got him on, but I told him, and I see Kasha's in there, so what we're going to do is, I'm going to unmute him real quick so they can listen, but what I wanted to do, Bill, was we have two new listeners, Bill. We have Jackie Boone.
Where's Jackie Boone from?
She's on the East Coast. We have Sherry Hosey, who is Stormy Montana's mother.
Oh, okay.
She's in Tennessee. And
well, I want to thank our new listeners for jumping in tonight. Hope you're a regular guest.
Absolutely.
Hope you get to expand your circle of friends and make new people. A lot of times when people are traveling, they tune in the show here and hook up with other people before they get to that state. So please.
That's what I did with Frank, Bill. I exchanged emails with.
And don't forget Wild Man Merlin traveling across America, making
America,
contact
right.
Only through this show.
Only through
the
show.
Only people who make it through this show. Total
right.
Strangers.
And I sent Baker Charlie, or I sent Frank Charlie's information and Charlie Frank's information.
Oh, good, 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 because they speak the same language.
Exactly. Because Charlie's getting ready to do that East Coast tour.
Yeah.
He should be calling in here, too.
Hope he's doing okay.
Yeah. And what I wanted to do, Bill, was
T-Rod.
We're going to call T-Rod.
Yeah, I need to get the information on our boy out there, Wink. Hopefully he's got that schedule there. Is everybody muted now?
No.
Okay.
I, Hang on. Let me talk to these guys real quick. Hello, Kasha.
Hello. How are you doing?
Good. How are we doing? Bill's with me tonight.
Good evening.
I'm saving what you look like. I'm going to show him later. He saw you last week, but he didn't really see you last week. You know what I mean?
Right.
No, I don't know what you're talking about now. Okay.
No. I'll show
you. All right.
Okay. But I'm gonna leave you unmuted. We're gonna call T Rod. He's partners with Rusty up at Illusion Motorcycles, and
right.
He happens to be the only one riding Harley Davidsons on dirt track right now. He's riding a dirt saw.
He's got a Speedway race bike, and then he's got a sidecar with the monkey.
That's correct.
Also, now let's give him some credibility too. At Surges this year, he's building the bikes and go for the world record for a jump.
I wanted to talk to him to talk about that, Bill.
Well, you should have said something.
Well, I know, but I didn't know you
were
going
away. That's why it so irritated me being on the show with you all the time.
Yeah, I know. And then Frank, you're unmuted. Hello, Frank.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Well, it's the usual show for us. We're arguing. We argue all the time, Frank.
Thanks for playing my track there.
Hey, it sounded pretty good. I was trying to ask a screwdriver here. Are you a... more of a ballad man, would you describe yourself? Or give me a little bit about what type of music do you think you play?
Well, I mean, mainly it's rock, but more like on the modern rock, hard rock side.
That music was a little bit more softer, I thought.
A little bit, yeah. I mean, I'm Waiting's a little bit different. If you heard that one, you'd probably be like, yeah, you know, that's a hard rock song. But I think that one has a lot of melody and a lot of different things going on. So, yeah, I could definitely see that in that song.
Well, for people who want to know you, what do you think your strong points are in music? Hard rock or, I don't know, describe yourself. People listen to 30 countries. They want to hear about you, brother. Come on, talk to us.
Well, I'm a soul artist from upstate New York. Primarily in the rock genre, but you know I switch around because a lot of my influences and stuff are like from the 80s metal, and then you got today's hard rock from like Creed and Godsmack and stuff like that. And every song's different, but you know I'll do like I'm Waiting is more of the hard rock. I'll do Remembrance, which is an acoustic track. Then I have a new song. It's called Love. It's kind of along lines like a Daughtry type tune. So I like a little bit of mix of everything. And that helps, too, when you're doing shows. It's not kind of like the same style the whole time. But
I like the variety. I think the audience likes variety, too. Even if you're perfected in one style only, I think the audience likes variety. Now, we've got his information on so other musicians can contact him. Is that right?
I'll put it up there in a second, Bill.
Okay, we're going to put you across America, sort of across Europe, too, so other musicians and other people can get in contact with you and maybe you could talk some music talk that Screwdriver and I aren't that familiar with.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I'm on MySpace, Facebook, and Twitter, and it's Palangi. That's how you spell my last name.
We got Palangi, correct. Yes, we got it up here. Yeah. Well, we get to
so, Frank, how about if you don't want to give out your email address, do you?
I can. It's frankpalangi@yahoo.com.
Frank, I got it right here. I was going to put it in the chat.
Everybody can have it if you want it.
Well, either way.
What I'm going to do is put the Sonic Birds one and the link to the debut EP.
Okay. Yeah, sounds good.
Okay, I'll put that up in there for you. Your email address, you don't really need to put that out. They can get you through this, right?
Yeah, I mean, it has my email address on there, so.
Okay.
Either way.
No, I'll put all three up then, Frank. No worries.
We just make sure you're okay, because a lot of people, this show is going to be archived, and so the Europeans can wake up and whenever they wake up and tune the show and hear it, so they may reach you 8 hours, 10 hours later. We never know what's going to go on this crazy world, or the next day.
Right.
So we want to give you as much information, but we don't want to invade your privacy, Frank. We want to share with local privacy.
No, I invite anyone to Facebook me. I answer all my emails, and you know, if they talk music, if they're fans of music, or you know, I'm pretty open that way. I don't talk about my personal life a lot, but I'll definitely talk about music and other things, you know.
So we wonder about that because Screwdriver is so famous. He wears a full gorilla suit when he rides his Harley Davidson down the road. He figures no one knows it's him, so we try to keep privacy where we can.
Well, Bill, I got news for you. I just got hit up a friend request the other day from Theo Ortiz. You know who Theo Ortiz is?
Well, did he hang out with Todd Chaney?
No.
Oh,
that's
Theo.
Theo,
that's our boy. That's our boy. Yeah, Sons of Vanity guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
How's Andy doing, by the way? Heard from Andy lately?
I heard from him the other day, Bill. He was doing a audition.
Okay, he's with the Sons of Anarchy. He was the president of the Belfast chapter of the Irish Sons of Anarchy, who they threw off the second-story roof because he was a snitch and they killed him. But
well, Bill,
that's all right.
Bill, if you're going to go that far, you might as well tell the story. What happened was when I introduced Bill to Andy, and you two guys might enjoy this, but when I have introduced Bill to Andy, Bill said, you know, I don't understand. You're an Irish guy.
Like me.
Like me. In Ireland, playing. You're the only Catholic in a Protestant club. You turned out to be a snitch, so it's no wonder they threw you off the fucking roof.
And then I try to push him up the stairs.
Right.
I think I push him off the roof a second time. being Irish, I'm not that keen on that snitch stuff. You know. He said to me, Bill, please, we get off on the wrong foot here. I got to tell you. Number one, I'm not Catholic. I'm thinking, well. All right, I'm a little better. He goes, Bill, I'm a TV actor who rides a motorcycle. Last of all, I'm not even Irish, Bill. I'm Australian. I had to learn the Irish accent. So from that point on, he's an actor. He's Australian. He's not even Catholic. Him and I get along fine now. So, and lucky for me, I found out before he became a famous TV star, he was a professional wrestler in Australia.
That's correct.
I didn't know that.
So that's correct.
Maybe when I get a... up on the roof, we might have had a little surprise. Maybe I might have gone sailing out there.
Well, what we're going to do, Bill, is I got T-Rod queued up. We're going to dial him up.
All right, then we'll talk to the boy.
Right.
T-Rod, again, is with Illusion Motorcycles out of... Bill of the fastest motorcycles. Bill of unique... He also does tune-ups, oil changes, and everything, but what he specializes in, he breathes...
He's a professional fabricator.
Three generations. He's got his grandfather. And it'd be nice if he answered the phone. Bottom of the damn phone's ringing. Lord, I hope they didn't take a sushi break.
No. Okay. We can try it again, Bill.
You people that like sushi, I don't mean to be disrespectful. Every time I meet these guys, say, I'm Irish. That's meat and potatoes. I don't want no damn sushi. I know all you health-conscious people are saying, no, sushi's good for you. Good. I'm glad it's good for you people. Enjoy it. Irish. Meat, potatoes.
Oh, by the way, Bill, that place closed down where they
it did.
Yeah, they are.
You know why?
Yeah.
Probably the health department. The damn health department shut it down.
Found a new place.
No. I don't want anybody to do what I do. Well, this is great.
Typing in the background. Okay, I got another number, Bill.
This is making you look bad.
No.
I didn't say I was going to call him. You're telling all these people here that you're going to call him up, like you know him, like you're somebody special.
I do know
he
him.
He ain't answering your phone.
I do know him, Bill.
Oh,
he might be...
No, don't make excuses up.
He might be with our other friend.
Don't be making excuses
up. And you know what happens on Thursday nights.
Don't be making excuses up now.
Okay, so we're going to try.
Probably never met the guy in your life.
Yeah. Everybody knows pictures all over the place.
You do that digital stuff. They put pictures together. You probably don't even know.
I showed Bill the rest of your pictures.
Oh, yeah?
I'll let you do a bit. And dial this number.
My question to you, dear, is what's a good-looking girl like you waste your time talking to Screwdriver over here?
Hey, Bill's the best. I love Bill.
All this love.
He does. He's awesome.
Well, we argue about almost everything every night. We agree very rarely, but well, I do agree with him, I pointed out, but I think the show is interesting for him and I to argue. Sometimes, I won't say it's never adversarial, but if I don't agree with him in a heartbeat, I just disagree with him. That's all there is to it.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, you two are funny together. Making me laugh.
Because, again, looking at your picture.
Oh, is that Michael Keaton or is that your...
Is it going to blow up on me? Is this my last day with you?
No. Hello? T-Rod? No, we lost him. Anyway, you guys are still unmuted. You can still talk.
Can you try one more time or just keep going?
Yeah,
okay.
I'm going to try one more
time. Okay.
He's actually, I talked to him earlier today. He's working on the bike.
Yeah, sure you did. Yep.
Oh, yeah. I talked to him right after
you talked to Brenda. Yeah, okay, you talked. You're talking to Brenda Fox, by the way. She's in Vegas doing that big program, and she's talking about we can hook up for the link ride if we can get information to people on that.
Right.
Hello. We're going to hook up.
Hello, T-Rod.
Yeah.
Bill Kennedy here.
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, I got a screwdriver with me. Listen, we actually got a two-part question for you. First of all, I say, hope things are doing okay. We can't get any information on that Wink benefit. Do you have any information there? We can't pick it up.
Well, actually,
yep.
I have the flyer, but I can't get it to pull up, D-Rod.
Really?
So if you can give us a quick rundown on that, and then Bill wanted to talk about that, but he also, the second part.
We're talking about Sturgis.
The Sturgis, and then the other part was we wanted to talk about what you're working on right now.
Well, we're working on the side hack right now. We're getting it ready for a race tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
We raced last night. The race tomorrow is going to be in San Bernardino, IMS.
Uh-huh.
At the old IMS Speedway track.
Yeah, okay.
They got Speedway and sidecars tomorrow. And, we just raced last night at City of Industry. We took first place on the Conti main. We raced against the Honda VTX 1000, which is the only other V-twin out there. We have the only Harley sidecar in the world. They have a Honda, and it was like the battle of the V-twins last night, man. We smoked those guys.
Where did you race a couple of weeks ago? Tell me where you were a couple of weeks ago.
Couple of weeks was Costa Mesa. This last
Costa
weekend
Mesa,
was.
I know. One of the guys came into my shop was telling me he saw the race and he saw this Harley powered motorcycle and blah 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 blah. And I said, yeah, I know that guy. My customer looked at me like, you're so full of shit. I said, no, I know that guy raced. Oh, bullshit. So I got to see if I can get a picture. You that he was so excited to see Harley Davidson going around that track.
Yeah, we're our fans up north when we went to Auburn.
Yeah.
Hold on, let me turn off the radio. That way I'm not fighting Mike Ness over here. But yeah, there you go. We went to Auburn last weekend, raced over there, and it's up in Northern California. And I'm walking around the pits, and I'm looking at a lot of the fans outside are. They all got Harley t-shirts and Harley jackets on, and I'm thinking, these guys are clueless of what's about to happen over here. You know, the only Harley sidecar out there. So when we came out and the announcer announced what we were, everybody just went crazy, man. They could not believe that there's a Harley sidecar out there. And when we came back, we signed like 200-300 autographs at the end of the night. You know, it's kind of funny because we're just a couple of knuckleheads that are racing out there. We're not doing it for the glory, but... people are going cuckoo about this thing, you know?
Guys that are racing, they've got the factory sponsorship, some type of program. Yet here you are putting your own money out just to show Harley-Davidson off on the racetrack, just to show people you can do it. I know
we're loyal to Harley.
Problem, but,
you know what I mean?
You see any sponsorship coming down the road, or are you still plugging away? Because I get every nickel's coming out of your pocket, brother.
Yeah, We're going on a wing and a prayer on this thing, you know what I mean? Putting all our paychecks on this baby, and And we're doing it out of love of Harley, you know what I mean? We don't want anything in return. I mean, if anybody wants to jump along with this and help out, great, but we're doing it for us. We're not doing it for anybody else, you know what I mean? We love the sport. We love the
It was also great seeing you at the Bad Ride.
Yeah, we had fun over there, man.
Listen, who were you out there cruising with? Who did Screwdriver introduce you to, the Bad Ride?
Well, I was there with Wink.
Yeah.
Wink Keller, which is, you know, a dear friend of ours and also one of the best engine builders in the world.
You
know? What's that?
Jump in, Tom.
He wanted to know if there was any women that I introduced you to.
Besides
the stripper. Oh, yeah. The daughter of Willie. What's her name?
Listen.
Hello? You there?
Now, you met Karen Davison, Willie's niece, granddaughter, excuse me.
Yeah.
How's the factory talking to you about what you're doing? Are they giving you any encouragement? What do they say about what you're
doing? One of our sponsors is West Spencer Harley Davidson. They buy us tires. They've been really, really generous, and they've been helping out. And we put the factory colors on this bike on our own. We put the factory name and our leathers on our own. Basically, we're representing the factory to get some kind of help from the dealership or from actually Harley. You know, it's like I said when I met her. I said, "Look, I'm sure you probably get hit up by handouts all the time, and we're not asking for a handout. We're just going to show you what we're doing and show you." You know, how far we've come along and on our own. And if you guys want to jump in any kind of way and help out, great. If not, then no problem. We're just going to still be doing what we're doing. And you know what I mean?
Well, that's pretty impressive that the factory's looking at you with that because they're certainly a great positive PR. Now, when I was talking to Willie G. Davison, he had to fly back, so I didn't think you had a chance to talk to Willie, but certainly next event we're all doing, a little more schmoozing on your part, getting the information out. I think it's fantastic because literally, like a small van, you and your partner, you're trying to do all this by yourself. And at some point in time, man, that's digging hard into your pockets.
Yeah, we would love to.
Go ahead.
We would love to be able to. This is our main goal with this. Our main goal is we would love to go to a world final with this bike. You know, the United States has never been represented in a world final on sidecars. We've never appeared there. You know what I mean? The Europeans have been saying, hey, you know, why don't you guys get your shit together over there and build some bikes to the world-class rules and come out and run with us. You know what I mean? They're calling us a bunch of hooligans and everything. We're like, yeah. So we got a hold of a set of international rules, so to speak, and then we built this bike to the right wheelbase, the right everything to be able to compete, the right width, the right height, the right everything, so they can't say anything, and we had to build an Evo motor that was 1,000 cc's. Now, you guys all know that, being Harley people, that going bigger on a Harley is no problem. Going smaller is the hardest thing because nobody makes a motor that small. Everybody wants to go big.
Right.
You know, we had to go small. We had to take a 1,340cc Evo motor and make it 1,000. So we used a combination of Harley parts, you know, sports or rods and whatnot. And I don't want to give too many secrets away, but we used guys like Fast Ed and Wayne Keller to help design and build a motor. And we got a motor that's putting out, you know, close to 100 horsepower here with a 60-inch motor, man. It's unbelievable the amount of power. You know, we're running race gas. We're running 113 octane. But with my partner here, Gene, how much you weigh, Gene? He weighs 155. I weigh 215. So it's a 500-pound bike with one guy hanging off of it that's 155. One guy sitting on it that's 215. The rear tire is burning throughout the entire corner, man. We hit the apex, our rear tire is spinning, and our front end is coming off the ground. I've never seen a 60-inch motor that's doing that, and ours is doing it. I had the handlebars completely crossed last night going in the apex, and the bike was driving so much that the front wheel was barely touching. with the handlebars pointing right, the bike was going straight, you know. It's one of the scariest thing ever, but that's what it takes. You know, you got to hang on to that throttle and keep it going, you know.
We were talking to I told my wife, Kathy, tonight, and my wife, Kathy, wanted to please tell your girlfriend, Kathy, to say hello. She thought she was a very nice girl.
Yeah, she's not too bad, man. I think I want to hang on to her for a while.
Again, you better say more than not too bad. You better appreciate what you got, fool. Damn.
Yeah, I've been, Kathy and I have been together for over 4 years, man. She's the longest relationship I've ever had. And so far, I think she's going to be the one because she's putting up with my crazy ass. You know what I mean?
You know,
I mean,
yeah, you'd be a full hand. I can see that. Yeah. I've known you for some time, and yeah, you're a handful. You're a handful.
Yeah. You know, she thought that when I was once I left the club, she thought things was going to slow down a little bit, you know, and they did.
Yeah.
They slowed down for a while, but all of a sudden I'm racing a bike with no brakes, and then all of a sudden we're building another bike with no brakes as a sidecar, and, you know, racing, you know, 100 horsepower motor with no brakes around a track that's no bigger than some people's backyards. You know, that's pretty crazy. You know what I mean?
T-Rod, listen, I know you, and I know you're a healthy man. I know you're, you know, a buff guy. But my question was, racing, what kind of conditioning or training do you need? Is it a short race? Is it more mental? Tossing that machine around, but you got big arms, so I know you can deal with that. But what type of training do you have to prepare for something like that, a race?
Well, you got to be in shape, man, because you lose a lot of weight. I chose Speedway because it's a night sport, and you really don't get that hot wearing your Kevlars and everything. I tell you what, even at night, I come off I take my suit off, my race suit off, and I'm completely drenched. And I can drink a whole gallon of water, man, and sweat it out by the end of the night. I mean, you got to really keep yourself hydrated because, and physically, man, you know, my whole body, you know, Speedway, you're hurting places where you don't think you ever hurt. You know what I mean? And Gene, hell, his race suit right now, he's got a race suit that's brand new, and he's got tire marks across his back. Look like you know what I mean? It's crazy. He's had his suit tore up twice already by somebody else's front wheel. Because we come in the corner, man, and we're fighting for that spot, and the guy's going to let off. Usually how you slow down is by taking the other guy's monkey and running your wheel right into his back. You know what I mean? So I think he's crazy for doing that. He thinks I'm crazy for driving it. I mean, I guess we're both a little nutty, you know?
You know, when I see the cars racing and I see themselves bumping each other, when you're racing and somebody bumps you, I can't see you just saying, oh, well, it's just part of racing. Are people out there, are they like more gentlemen ruling?
In other words, Bill, are you asking them if they get in a fist fight after a race?
No, not a fist fight. I want to know, are words being said after a race if you think somebody was too hot going to a corner?
Oh, dude, the first night we went out there, on the first lap, I thought they, like, these guys bet each other against who was going to take us out. But some guy tried to come in on the inside on the back straightaway, and there was not enough room, and he put a sidecar running on our side. Our sidecars tangled with each other, and he took Gene right off the bike, so to speak. You know, my monkey, my swinger, or whatever, the correct way to call it. But anyways, and I thought he broke Gene's back, because Gene came flying off the bike and did a tumble, and I ended up swerving into the inside, and I came in the pits, and I was freaking pissed, dude. I took the dude and I grabbed him by the collar of the shirt. They go, hey, man, you do this one more time, I'm going to fuck you up. You know what I mean? And I'm not really the kind of guy to do that anymore, especially at a racing event. You know, before, back in the day, hey, it was on. But it made me that mad. And then the guy goes, hey, I'm sorry, man, but that's how we race. And I says, really? And the more we race each other, the more we realize that's how it goes, man, with sidecars. It's on a speedway bike, you got a wider turn because, you know, you only have the width of a speedway bike. On a sidecar, man, when we're on the tapes and we take off, I can reach over to my right and touch the shoulder of the guy on the right sidecar, and then Gene can reach over on the left and touch the shoulder and we take off sometimes on these bikes. Our bike jumps. If I let the, if I dump the clutch, our bike is takes off and it does a wheelie. And sometimes you come up and you got this sidecar straight up in the air and it's drifting left and you land and your third wheel lands on the other guy's tray. I mean, it's really the, one of the craziest things I've ever done, man. But it's a lot of fun, man. I once you got a motor that's just screaming between your legs and you're laying over it, because it's kind of the way the chassis are built, they're kind of like a drag bike, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And because
well,
you're laying over
about
the motor.
Listen, is Gene nearby?
What's that?
Is Gene
yeah,
nearby
Gene
you?
Nearby. Yeah, I just want to talk
is
to Gene.
How he prepares for the races. Is it physical, mental, or can you put him on for a second? Is he okay with that?
Yeah, absolutely. Here, Gene, I want to talk to you. Hello.
Hey, Bill Kennedy here with Screwdriver. We're talking to T-Rod about how he prepares for a race, but you being the monkey, what do you call it, the slider?
Monkey slider, swinger, whatever they call it.
Is it more mental? Is it more physical? How do you prepare exercise for the challenge of racing on? And people are going to tune and watch this. You're hanging off on one end. You're doing this. You're trying to keep the bike so it's going on the ground. What do you do to prepare? Do you run? Do you lift weights? What do you do to prepare for this?
No, I really honestly don't do anything. I'm pretty much in shape, you know, for my age. I don't lift weights. Where I work is pretty physical. I work for a plywood company, and I lift a lot of heavy stuff. You know, even though I'm a small guy, I've always been pretty strong. And, you know, it takes... Pardon?
He's about as tall as me, Bill. You remember me,
yeah.
Dean, right?
Yeah.
He's built like me, Bill.
Yeah.
So with you, it's actually more mental. Are you trying to look at the road, racetrack, trying to find, as you're going into the turn, you have to react before you come to the turn. Is that what, you have to be like chest one step ahead or something? Or tell me what you're thinking as it goes off. The bike takes off,
well,
the gun goes off, and how do you prepare? What do you do first? Tell me around
well,
the
what I really, quick. What I really think about is, you know, I go by the feel of the bike, and if we're starting to slide too far, you know, or starting to push out too far, then I'm going to, you know, drag my ass a little bit harder and try to pull on that bike as hard as I can down to the ground. And then when we, you know, when we're drifting, we're basically drifting around, and I'm kind of steering with my rear end. And as soon as we hit a certain point where I can feel the bike starting to straighten up, then I get up on the bike and try to pull back so we can get some traction on that rear tire. Pull back as hard as I can so we can try to launch down the straight. And the faster we go down the straight, you know, then I determine, you know, where I'm going to start sliding at so we can drift that whole corner. You know, as soon as we start getting down to the apex.
Every corner has to be prepared, set up for you, based upon where the
yeah.
bike is, how you have to adjust your weight to compensate for the different changes in the racetracks, kind of.
Yes, changes in the racetrack, and every corner is different. You know, we may come in a little hot, so I've got to try to, you know, come up a little bit and not drag as far. Otherwise, if I drag too much, if we come in too hot or too fast into the corner to drift, and I'm dragging too far, it's just going to spin us. So, you know, every corner is different.
On the racetrack, the tracks get kind of tore up a little bit. So as you're going around, are you picking up any grooves, or do they maintain the track enough so it's somewhat straight for you?
Not so much for me. They maintain the track, you know, for the speedway and for the sidecars. And the track, you know, there will be grooves in the track. And, you know, they'll show up. You know, certain tracks we know in a certain spot in a corner, there's going to be a groove that's going to show up, you know, sometime at the night. And you don't want to hit that groove because on a speedway bike and or on a sidecar, you hit that groove wrong, it's going to launch you. You will fly off the bike if you hit it wrong, if you're not into a good hard slide.
Is there any chance you guys ever had a flat tire while racing?
There's always a chance of a flat tire.
Okay.
You know, that's part of racing. You know, you see it in NASCAR, you see it in everything. And, you know, up in our front tire, you know, we run maybe anywhere from 4 to 7 pounds of air pressure. In the rear, we're working on the rear right now, anywhere from about 15 to 25, depending on the track conditions. Because we'll go out and walk the track, and, you know, determine. And, of course, through the evening, the track will change. And so we adjust the air pressure on all three tires.
Gene, I know all the courses are different, but in the course of a season, you guys go, how many tires do you guys go through? A couple sets, three sets, or tell what that's like about.
The rear tire will probably go through about every maybe two to three races. The outside, the hack tire, let me look at that, see how that's holding up. It's holding up pretty good. I'm guessing maybe 8 to 10. And the front tire, I would say that front tire usually is going to last, I'd say, maybe 15 to 20 races. You know, so there's not too much pressure on the front tire. It's mainly, you know, the rear tire from spinning the wheel so much. And the outside, you know, the hack tire.
So even though T-Rod's got the handlebars driving the bike, in a sense, you're driving the bike too by moving your weight back and forth. Is that correct?
Yes. It's both of us. You know, we're working in unison on this. And the more time we get on the track together, you know, just each time we go out, we improve. We learn something, and we're getting faster. And, you know, our lap times are getting faster, and the way I'm positioning myself and the way Rod's positioning himself. You know, last night in our last race, it worked great. We talked about it between, you know, the first two races, you know, we went out on. And it's just, you know, it has a lot to do with Rod and me working together and tire pressure.
It's kind of like feeling each other instinctively. You know what he's going to do, so you can prepare for it. You're not waiting to see what he's going to do. You know, through past experiences on this circumstances, he's going to do A, so you're prepared for it. Gene, I got to ask you, I want to say thanks for joining in there. Can you put T-Rod back in? I've got some person that's got a question for him.
No, he's not. No, he's
okay.
He can't right now.
Hey, Rod. It's for you, brother. Yeah, what Gene forgot to tell you guys is we got an intercom system, right? Made by SEMA.
Yeah.
And so far we haven't been able to say one word to each other, man, because it's almost hard to remember to breathe when you're racing these things, man. If he's not on the bike and I come in that corner, and I don't know when he's on the bike because I can't
he's
look down and
around,
see and look for him. If I look for him, I'm going to hit the wall. But if he's not on that bike, man, and I come in the corner, I will not make that corner the way the bike needs to set up.
Right.
So it's one of the scariest things I've ever done because I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if he's going to let go halfway through the corner or someone's going to hit him and take him out. And if that happens, I'm done. I'm going right through that wall, dude.
We're talking about
this bike
wheels
on corner without him.
Yeah. Well, I want to know back to Wink Eller for a second again. We had that get together to help Wink. Did you have any dates on that one? Because we can't locate
it. Yes, it's the 26th, I believe. It's next weekend. Not
weekend.
It's good. What's the calendar?
It is.
It's on the 26th. Sunday the 26th. At Scotty's Barbecue in Orange off Catella.
Is that a Saturday or a Sunday?
It's a Sunday.
Okay.
Sunday, right, Gene?
Yes.
It's a Sunday, the 26th. Not this Sunday, but the next one. And what it is, I'll tell you guys something. Wink got hurt coming back, towing his bike back at El Mirage. He was he did a few good runs during the day, and then he was coming back in, and the winds pick up real hard at El Mirage. After like noontime, you know, and they were towing him back, and he hit a cross gust of wind, and shit, those winds are so strong sometimes, man. We were coming back, and I was driving my van through El Mirage doing like 30 miles an hour. And I got passed by a tumbleweed. That's how strong the winds are over there. So he hit a cross wind, and his bike wobbled. He hit his head, knocked himself unconscious. And the bike fell on him, and by the time they slowed down, the bike drugged him down. So he had a broken collarbone.
We saw him at the bad ride. We were all together. He was that little electric wheelchair thing, and he was banged up pretty damn hard. I didn't ask him, one of the judges and all that. That was kind of nice. Well, how come you weren't one of my judges this year? T-Rod.
Yeah. Me?
How come you weren't one of the judges at the bad ride this year?
I had raced the night before, and I was pretty tired, man. I didn't know I was going to have enough time to come in, honestly.
I understand that. It was my fault, too. I should I shouldn't ask older guys to do that. I should try to get younger guys. No, I understand that. You can't go out
well,
and
you
race
know,
the night.
Races,
no, I understand.
I'm not going to
be judging my friends and all that. You're a little old. You're a little tired. That's all right, brother.
Well, what we do, Bill, is we have a point system that we're going through, so we have to make every race to make the points.
See, brother.
But what I was getting at before was the United States has never compete on a world event. So what we're getting at is we would like to be the ones that go to New Zealand or wherever the world event, the world finals are being held, and compete with a Harley sidecar representing the U.S. That's our bucket list, you know, and that's what we would like to do. So yes, we would need help from some.
All the people listen
you know,
to us, we can get information on T-Rod, right?
I put it up in the chat room, Bill. What I did, T-Rod, was I put up Illusion Motorcycles. I put up all the contact information. I put up the email address. If anybody has any questions or anything for you, they can get a hold of you that way. So
yeah.
If they go on my Facebook page, go ahead.
Yeah. I was going to tell you that our Facebook page, our fan page, is called Harley Speedway and Sidecar Team 25. If you guys go to Harley Speedway and Sidecar Team 25, you'll see updates that we put on after every race. You guys will see videos of us racing. You can see the video from last night. You guys can see all our information, the complete build of the bike. I mean, we built the bike from scratch here at Illusion Cycles, because that's what we do. We build custom bikes. So you guys can see the complete build-up. Everything from zero to hero.
Brother, the people that can make links get together, will you have one of your sidecars or a speedway bike up there?
We'll have the sidecar. Yeah, we'll have the sidecar and the speedway bike on display. And also, it's a tribute to Bonneville. So what these guys are going to have is they're going to have a bunch of Bonneville bikes and some of the streamliners that race out there. Now, if you're an average guy, you don't get the chance to see these bikes and cars. These bikes and cars are sitting in somebody's shop with a pit bull guarding the door, you know. And the only time you'll see them is when they're in Bonneville. And you got to look real fast because the car's going to go zoom by you at 100 and something miles an hour. So if you're an average guy, this is a perfect chance to get close and personal with one of these cars that you'll never see. You know what I mean? These things are like the unicorn. You know what I mean? You don't see it. You don't even know if it exists, you know?
You get a chance to walk out. Yeah. I know that when Gene and T-Rod are there at the event next Sunday, that they'll be walk up and talk to you personally about the event and the how you race.
Yeah.
So that'd be kind of interesting about that.
You know, Bill, Bill had an interesting thing happen to him after he won his first race.
Who did
what's that?
T-Rod. I said, T-Rod, yeah, when you were on the dirt track bike, you had an interesting, or the speedway bike, I'm sorry, you had an interesting encounter after the race, correct?
What the hell are you talking about?
Yeah, was that one that
Rod
came over?
Did you buy any markers? Did you buy any markers?
Oh, yeah, I signed a couple of pairs of titties, man. It was good.
Oh,
good
titties. I have no idea. T-Rod, you know, sometimes I have no idea where the hell he goes in these programs, so... Sometimes I'm totally lost.
Oh, yeah. We got to sign some. Did you say titties up in the air or what?
We don't have a clue what's going on there. He just opened his mouth.
I'm not
going to
get you guys in trouble by saying titties. Can I say the word
titties? No. Let me explain
something. Sorry, man.
Let me explain something to you. This is the last bastion of...
Can I say boobies?
You can say bully. You can say shit, fuck, whatever you want. This is the last bastion of freedom. The only problem I have...
Oh, well, I can say shit, fuck, and all that. You mean I've been fucking talking fucking nice that I fucking couldn't fucking say the word fuck? Well, fuck, man,
you
shit.
You can say all of that on Blog Talk. There's only four programs to our knowledge across America. They cannot stop
fucking
us.
A.
Freedom.
All right, well,
all
you know, I don't want people to think...
We're not
the only time I cuss that much is when I hit...
We're worried about content. What they have to talk about, but no, this is that only four shows across America, we believe, and Congress is right now investigating us. They're saying they're going to try to make this program better. How can it be better? It goes worldwide. It's free. They can't license us. They can't stop us. They can't restrict us. Maybe they will in the future. But for now on, T-Rod, I'm one that rarely swears, but I'm going to tell you, if you want to say fuck you, go right ahead. This is absolutely your choice, brother.
I don't cuss that much, only when I hit my finger with a hammer, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Got to keep it kind of...
Been there, done that. But are you up for a couple of questions?
Yes, sir.
Okay. We have Frank Palangi. He's a musician from out of Albany, New York. And we have
yes.
Tasha Jordan. She's out of Greeley, Colorado. And they've been listening the whole time. And I'm going to, at one at a time... Hi. This is T-Rod and Gene.
Hey, what's going on, man?
You have any questions for T-Rod or Gene?
No, I don't. I'm just listening to y'all.
Okay. How about you, Frank?
I think you pretty much answered every question I had.
So. I know you did a good job with that.
You kind of did.
I talk so much, I don't get time to let anybody ask any questions out.
You know,
T-Rod, it wasn't that long ago when you and I did our first time on stage together. You were a bit more reserved, weren't you?
Yeah, I had a couple of drinks on me, and I didn't want to sound like an idiot, so I was a little quieter.
As long as Bill Kennedy's ever doing the talk, he'll be always just fine.
I got a question for you.
Is Marion up there?
That was Mimi.
Go ahead, sir.
No, you have it. Go ahead.
I was going to ask, do you race every weekend, or... do you do it like, you know, twice a weekend sometimes, or just like once a month, or?
Yeah, sometimes there's times when we race three times in 1 week. Sometimes we don't race at all. Jump around from track to track. We go, like, we race, for example, last Friday we were in Auburn, Northern California. Saturday we were at Folsom, so it was like 10 miles away. Then we came back that Monday and Tuesday off. Last night we raced in City of Industry right here, and then tomorrow night we're racing in San Bernardino, and then Saturday night we're racing at Victorville, and then we jump off for a week, you know.
Yeah, that's a lot. Do you get tired? Third night, are you like, man, I just want to pass out?
Well, you know, I'm tired as hell when I'm prepping the bike with my partner here, and then driving to the racetrack. It's tiring, but you get there, man, and you see all the fans and everything. You get, like, your second wind.
Yeah.
You race.
Yep.
Then, you know, have a couple of beers, and then it's like try not to sleep on the ride home, you know?
Yeah, it's just kind of like going on stage. It's like you could be tired, but then, like, I don't know, adrenaline or something kicks in. You're like, oh, man, you know, I got to do this. Yeah, let's go.
Yeah, it's like rock and roll time.
Oh, yeah.
And then you let off for a minute, and then, you know, it's back to rock, you know?
Yeah. And then when you're done, it's just like, oh, man.
And when you win the race, it's bitching. When you're not doing so hot, man, you just want to set the bike on fire and piss on it. You know, you get so mad.
Yeah.
The last time we were in San Bernardino, man, true story, we were winning the main, right, Gene? We were winning the main event, and at the third lap, our motor cuts out on us, right? Because we had a leak on our cam seal, and it was pouring oil on the ignition, so the ignition cuts out. So we're pissed, you know what I mean? We pull on the inside, and we're looking at each other like, well, fuck, bro, this wasn't our night, you know? And we're like, okay, we accepted that. Came in the pit, popped open a beer, and we're just kind of unwinding. And this broad comes in, man. The first thing she says, she goes, where's the mechanic? He's fired. And we all looked at each other like, who's going to tell her something? And I said, look, lady, emotions are running a little bit high right now. So I would just refrain from making some comments like that. Because, you know, we got sponsors that are, you know, we don't want to look like a bunch of assholes out there cussing people out. You know, and our sponsors are going to get a phone call going, hey, your rider just told me to go fuck myself. But, you know, they're not going to tell the sponsor what they did. But anyway, so I try to be as cool as I could, you know, and tell her to just back off, you know. And then her husband starts asking a bunch of questions about the motor and this and that. And the guy was so drunk, he was, like, slurring his words, you know. And it's like, what are you going to tell him? You can tell him you have a turbine underneath the fucking hood. And the guy's going to go, oh, cool. And he's going to tell you how to run it, you know what I mean? Like, the guy couldn't understand if I told him what it was anyways. So one of my mechanics goes, look, buddy, if we tell you what you want to know about this bike, we have to kill you. And I said, yeah, but we'll start with your wife. they both turned around and fucking split, you know what I mean? And that was like, that was the golden moment of the night, you know what I mean? All we needed was a drum roll after that shit. You know?
Yeah, they're
but
fat.
That's sometimes, yeah, sometimes when you're having a bad night, it only gets worse, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, boy.
But,
and,
yeah, you know.
T-Rod, I just put up... I just put up the, in the chat room, I put the sidecar build video.
Yeah.
I stuck that up there with the link to YouTube.
Yeah, yeah, and if anybody has any questions or anybody feels like they want to be part of, hit us up, you know, send us an email or call us, and then you can put my email address. I don't know if it's a good idea or not. I mean, I don't care.
I put the phone numbers for the shop. I put the shop email address. I put the address.
Okay.
I put the Westminster, California, Golden West. I put all that in there. I put the sidecar build video in there. And
yeah,
I think we can give him any much more unless you want to give him your personal phone number.
No, I'll keep that because I know I owe some people money out there, and I don't need to get those phone calls.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're having fun, man, you know.
How much stress is this putting on your shop? Because you're still trying to make a living at the shop and all that. Are you, like, burning the candle at both ends?
I didn't know the candle had both ends, two ends only, man. My candle's got, like, I got one of those big Jewish candle holders, you know. They got, like, tin candles, man, because that's how it is, man. It's work on a 9-to-5 at the shop and get off work, go clean the bike, and then go racing, come back and fix things on it and weld things on it, and it's nonstop, you know. But it's only a 6-month race season, so during the off season you can kind of catch up to things like seeing your kids and things like that. But during the 6 months of racing, it's on. You know what I mean?
You read one thing that I admired about you was being Irish. I'm very heavy into families, but you were showing me some tools at your shop that your grandfather had.
When I talk about you behind
your back, I say you breathe life into metal. You're not a bolt-on person at all. You breathe life into metal. Tell us about your...
And for me, he just tells people I'm a guy that works on ships, man.
I don't even talk shit. I'm lucky. You have no idea what I say behind your back about you. Tell us about your family's background. Coming from automobile racing, and tell us about where you're from, buddy.
Yeah, Formula One. I'm sure some of you guys picked up an accent. I'm from Argentina, South America. My dad's uncle, my great uncle, is a 4-time Formula One champion down there. He raced with Juan Fangio and all those guys that still now today hold the most championships, I think, in Formula One. But anyways, my family was poor. You know, we started off, we had to make everything, so it was like seven brothers that all worked together on this shop, and after hours, they worked on the formula car, and my grandpa built the body, my great-uncle was the driver, and all the other brothers worked on the car themselves, too, and everybody would pitch in, and they would go racing, and, you know, it's in our blood, so to speak, you know, we that's what we do. You know, sometimes we I was like the black sheep of the family because I never really cared much about cars. I cared about motorcycles, and you know, they kind of got a little pushy with me at first, but now they kind of cut me some slack because they see that we're doing cool things. We're not just going out and getting drunk and riding our bike. You know, we're actually racing and innovating and doing things. So they're kind of a little bit prouder, I would say.
Right. Would you say your work ethics comes from your family? I say you work very hard to maintain the motorcycle shop and your racing. Do you credit your work ethics to your family and the way they raised themselves and the way they raised you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. If it wasn't for my dad, I always say I'm the laziest I'm the busiest lazy guy I know. You know what I mean? If it wasn't for my dad teaching me all this, I would have probably been a bum, you know? But, are you there?
Yeah,
we're still here.
Yeah, somebody, Kasha's in Greeley. They're getting 1-inch hail, and she's got to move the cows and the horses in the shelter. So I had to mute her up.
So which state is Kasha from?
Greeley, Colorado.
Okay.
Go ahead, T-Rod.
Yeah, so anyways, just worked my whole life and still working. You know, that's what
we
do.
I know growing up, I'm not going to sound like, you know, traditional, but I do come from a very poor family. My mother told me that I don't care about your hair, I don't care about your beards, I don't care about the motorcycles. Make a commitment to do what you want to do, and you'll be happy for the rest of your life. And I have been very fortunate that I had family support me. Well, a lot of people I know that got into motorcycles, they didn't have that family support. And I know that you had the family support. They wanted you to do something, make something. The name of my motorcycle shop is Kennedy's Custom Cycles. When you're in my home, you're a guest in my home. When you're in my motorcycle shop, you're a guest in my motorcycle shop. My family name means a lot. And I know your uncles and grandfathers and all that are really pleased that you're doing your taking your own road, so to speak, but you are getting involved and doing what you think is right.
Yeah, you have to always do what's right, man. It's like I said, it's a hard road, but there's only a one road, you know what I mean? People that flip-flop, you know, they live one way and they never really go anywhere. They're always running in circles because they're flip-flopping, you know? Like Rusty always taught me, man, the right thing is not the easiest thing to do sometimes, but you got to do it. You got to go through it, and that's what makes you fuck who you are, you know what I mean?
I get people come in my shop and say, remember me, Bill, I rode with you in the 70s and in the 80s, and, you know, I got into drugs, so I quit the motorcycle. I say, what the hell does a motorcycle have to do with the drugs? You probably went out in your car and truck scored most of your drugs. Why are you blaming the motorcycle? Well, I had to give it up.
Yeah.
I have never blamed the motorcycles for anything in my life. Anything I've done it wrong all on my own. Never blame motorcycles.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I had things happen like that, man. That you know, one time we showed up at a party when I was a prospect, and this girl saw us come in and she started crying. She's like, hey, you know, my dad used to ride with you guys and da-da-da-da. I never got to know him, and she was terminally ill. She had a cancer, I think. And she's like, I'd like to get to know see how my dad was and da-da-da-da. And I said, well, what chapter did he roll with? And she said, Purdue. So I was like, I don't know. Let me see. So I checked with Frank from Purdue. I go, hey, Frank, you know this guy? Frank goes, yeah, that guy was never a member. He was just a punk, man. We ran him down the road. And I told this girl, I said, hey, your dad was never a member. He was a punk. He got ran down the road. I'm sorry, but, hey, you wanted to know the truth? Here it is. And, yep. You know, the guys that they go out and do stupid things and blame it on the clubs and blame it on the bikes, it's got nothing to do with the clubs or the bike. It's the people are being stupid. And some people even use the club as a cover-up, you know what I mean, to justify or to hide. And they're not even members, you know. So, like,
you know, Mike and I have had a bike shop 35 years. It used to be three of us, my brother Pat. He left Arizona. I have never left North County, where I'm from, down here in Oceanside. I have never quit the motorcycles. I've told everybody, anything I did wrong, it was what I choose to do. I myself am to blame for anything. To this day, you can run into me 30, 40 years later, you can never say to my face, well, you did me wrong. I stood up and I did what I thought was right. And to this day, I still think whatever I did was right. I don't blame drugs or alcohol or anything. My choice is my responsibility. And I say that because I made the
always
same way myself.
That's why you and I hit it off from the get-go, man. Motorcycles have always been good to me. I've been loyal to motorcycles my whole life. They always put a roof over my head, put a hot meal on my plate, put my kids, pay my kids' bills. You know, motorcycles are never going to do you wrong. You're the one that's going to fuck that up. You know what I mean?
You know, I've got to tell you, in my life, and I've got a few more years on you, I've had so many friends fail me, and I've had, you know, business ventures fail me. I've always been honest to motorcycles, especially Harley-Davidson, because I always felt that was the one factor that kept me focused. I said, I believe in Harley-Davidson. I believe in the honesty of it. I believe it allows me to be creative. It has never failed me, whereas businesses and friends have failed me. I will never be disrespectful to the motorcycle. It's what's kept me going. That doesn't mean I'm a hard biker or anything. I'm just saying the importance I place on motorcycles, it has been the major factor in my life.
Yeah, just people that get into motorcycling, Harleys, for the fucking, for the wrong reasons, man. They get into this shit just so they can get to know some of the schmucks that are riding them. Get on the motorcycle for the motorcycle. Don't get into it for anything else, man. You know what I mean? They get into it, like midlife crisis or whatever. They get into the shit for just to run around and act cool, and you know that's the wrong reasons, man. You get into motorcycling because you love riding a motorcycle, not because of anything else, you know.
And you and I know that those people, we'll call them posers. They last so long, and neither lead themselves or, as you said, they get sent on down the road. You don't have to pose if you got a motorcycle. You believe in the motorcycle, in the lifestyle.
Yeah.
You're not opposed.
Yeah.
You believe in yourself first.
Yeah.
If you believe in yourself first, then it comes natural.
Yeah, absolutely, man. This is why we do what we do. If I could only deal with motorcycles and not people, I'd be better off. You know, that's why at the shop, you know, when you come in, you most likely you're going to talk to Rusty and deal with Rusty. I'm in the back, and I'm just happy that way. I'm playing with all these machines, you know what I mean? I'm just happy doing this.
You're playing with your toys. You're like me at work. You're playing with your toys.
Yeah, I'm not into this to meet people or see how cool this guy is because he's got the Harley boots or whatever. You know what I mean? I'm just I'm doing it for me, man.
You know, T-Rod, I was talking to a friend of ours that's in Boston. Happens to be in the insurance business, and she saw your video, and she was looking for sponsor. You know, she was looking to asking me if you needed any kind of a sponsorship. And I said, well, yeah, he's looking for sponsors. So, what she wants to do is she wants to kick you down $100, but all she asks is that you put her sticker on the bike.
Yeah, absolutely.
She wants that. Absolutely. A nude picture of you sent to her, okay?
Oh. She sees a naked picture of me, she's going to want her money back, dude. I'm guaranteeing you right now. But, man, we'll put her sticker on there.
You know, in my shop, I tell all my mechanics and I tell my counter people, I don't pay you enough money to deal bullshit from customers. If a customer's got an attitude, you say, 1 minute, please, and I'll get Mr. Kennedy. I will come out and I will discuss this. I will not shut the customer down. I'll give him a chance to say whatever he wants to say. 9 out of 10 times I can point out to him that he didn't understand, he doesn't understand the process, and the customer walks away thinking, okay, now I'm okay. But I don't want any of my customers, my mechanics or my counter people ever to leave work mad because of a customer. That's my job. I'll deal with UPS didn't send the part into us. I'll deal with the customers all screwed up. I don't want my people to get upset. So in a sense, you sound like you're in the back letting poor Rusty have the headaches. It takes time.
Well, you know
what?
Right? Out of so many years we've been in business, you know, we've been partners for going on six years, I think. We've only chased two people out of here that I can recall. And believe me, those people wouldn't last 5 minutes anywhere else. You know what I mean? We go above and beyond.
I'm not your mama. I'm not your minister. I'm telling you a fact. You come into my shop fucked up. You come into my shop drunk. I'm going to say come back tomorrow. Because anything I sell you is probably going to be the wrong thing. And you're going to open your mouth and irritate me anyway. You come into my... And it's all over North County. Don't go into Bill's shop when you're fucked up. I don't got time for you. Because tomorrow you're not going to know what the hell you said anyway. So I'm real firm on that. I'm not against drugs. I'm not against alcohol. Everybody make your own choices. I'm there doing motorcycles. You want to talk motorcycles? Fine. You want to come in half lit up, go somewhere else.
You're going to get lit up. You know what's funny is I've never been to the East Coast. I love to go to the East Coast, but I heard it's a little bit different over there walking into a bike shop, man. You got to either know somebody or be referred by somebody. You just don't walk into a bike shop. There's a lot more.
Kind of like walking into the bar wearing a wrong shirt.
Yeah. So, You know, it's funny because I love to put speed out way here, but, you know, it's not going to happen. But,
no.
You know, over here you get guys that just get their bikes and all of a sudden, you know, they know more than you do. I just smile and nod, you know. But, yeah, the East Coast, I heard, is a little different, man. You know?
Yeah, they
just gotta take it with what it is, you know what I mean?
There's good people in the East Coast, West. I tell people, make sure you're with good people and you'll be all right.
Yeah, just...
Make sure it's...
Surround yourself by people that are like-minded and don't have a chip on their shoulders and you'll be all right, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just be yourself.
Is Kasha still with us?
No, she had to go move the horses and the cows.
Oh, okay.
So they're getting 1-inch hail over there
now.
They're getting that storm we had yesterday.
Okay, now see, T-Rod, that's why you don't want to go back east. We're Midwest. We're anywhere else. Girl is moving the cows.
And the horses.
I can see T-Rod doing that. Come on, cow. Come on, cow. No.
Dude,
no.
You know what? It's funny because I got a friend of mine named Jose, and he went to Cody, Wyoming on a club deal, and they had the rodeo, right? And these guys came in and they got on bulls, man. They started riding. They had like the amateur afternoon, so to speak, for bull riding. And Jose got on a freaking, I don't know how big this thing was, but it was one of the big ones. And he rode this bull and he dismounted before the bell or whatever. And ended up pulling his groin muscle. And he tells me how he'll do it again anytime. And I'm thinking, man, you're fucking nuts, man. Get on an animal that's, you know, 50 times heavier than you or whatever. Cause this guy's a little guy, probably like, you know, and it's got a mind of its own. And it's already pissed off that you're sitting on his back and try to piss it off even more to ride it. I says, you're out your goddamn mind, man. And he thinks I'm crazy for riding a sidecar with no brakes, you know. So it's funny, but animals, I have respect for them. But I don't know. I get intimidated by big-ass horses and bulls and all that shit. You know, these things are big, and they got a mind of their own. So I'd rather have ride something that I got a little bit of control on the throttle, you know what I mean?
Next time I see you, I'll elaborate this story, but I'm going to give you a little tiny tidbit. On my 50th birthday, there's a club in Tijuana, the largest club down there, and they invited me down for a bullfight. I never saw a bullfight in my life. I don't know why. I just never went to go see them. First two matadors went out, and they got wiped out by the bull. Then they said, next fighter, El Norte Americano, Bill Kennedy. I said, what the hell? I went down thinking I was going to give an award away. T-Rod, I fought two bulls that day. This club in Tijuana paid for me to go down, blah, blah, blah. Sometime I see you, I'll tell you all the fun stuff. But I walked out in a oval shape with four professional matadors with the swords in case I got in deep shit. And they said, stay close to one of the exits. And I got to thinking, if I stay close to an exit, I'll take my eye off the bull. I'll be looking for the exit. I said, nah, I'll just walk out right in the middle and eliminate the need for escape and just deal with the bull. T-Rod, I had tunnel vision. All I saw was me and the bull. I stayed out there. I ran one down, came back. I fought a second one, and I doubt I'd do it again, but I was, man, that was a rush. I know now why people fight bulls. It's not like baseball. You can throw the ball. It's not like football. You can run out of bounds. It's you and the bull. T-Rod, I felt 7 foot tall that day. I'll share a bunch of shit with y'all. I won't be there bragging, but man, it was a rush.
Well, I got to say, better you than me, brother.
Plenty of friends in
Tijuana. Better you than me. The last time I went to Tijuana, I puked my guts out, and that was it. That was my freaking fun for the day, you know? Oh, yeah,
I had a lot of your friends in San Diego. I used to escort down to Tijuana and meet up with some of the my good friends down there in Tijuana. And all your friends in San Diego always said, man, why can't America be like this? We ride right next to a cop, and they don't even bother us. And I said, well, it's a different country and a different lifestyle. But I want to get into radio about that. I'll take that some other time, too. I'm going down next July, by the way, for a little get-together again.
Yeah. I can't wait till, I got a little time we can hang out a little more, you know. So far, the only time I got is with my kids and away from everything.
You got to prioritize.
We'll get some time in our hands.
Yeah.
What's that?
I said we have to prioritize. You have to do what's right for your family first. If you don't take care of your family, you're not much of a man.
Yeah, no. If you turn your back on your family, that says a lot for you. You know what I mean? And it's not anything good either. Friends expect you to be loyal to them, but if you see somebody that's mistreating their own blood, how are they going to treat you down the road? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I want to tell you very quickly. I was over in Oceanside a while back, and I was in my Cadillac, and I drove by this house downtown Oceanside in a dark area. This guy was kicking the shit out of a little Boston Terrier.
Oh, wait. I have news flash, T-Rod. Sherry Hosey out of Memphis, Tennessee said, tell him to come down south to a bike shop. We don't care what he wears, and they'll cook you dinner.
There you go.
What is this at? I'm sorry.
I said, we got an instant message for you that says, tell him to come down south to a bike shop. We don't care what he wears, and they'll cook you dinner. That's Sherry Hosey out of Memphis, Tennessee.
Memphis, you got a fan
club.
Oh,
man, yeah. Let me tell you something. I got good friends in the south, man. And I got a friend that every time he cooks, like jambalaya and things like that, he sends me pictures. And I tell you what, oh, my God, man.
Dirty rice in there? Oh, yeah.
I wish they'd made a smell-o-vision, you know what I mean, on the phones, because, fuck, man, that food looks good. Looks really good, you know. But, yeah, you know what? Nothing like
coming off. Hey, T-Rod, hang on. Skype, you got any questions for T-Rod? Do you want to say something? You want to? We have a lot of people just listening to you, T-Rod. But Spike, you want to come on in and ask him a question? No, they want to listen to your voice. That's all. All right.
You still hear me?
Right. Yeah.
Somebody's in here. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, that's Frank. But Evil, is that you calling from London?
Yo, how you doing?
Good. T-Rod.
Yeah, go ahead.
T-Rod, this is Evil E out of London.
England,
and Frank's still on the phone out of New York.
Lee, you got any questions you want to ask for T-Rod?
I've only just got on the phone. I ain't heard any of this.
Well, stick around for a little bit. We'll get back
for a little bit. We'll come back to you.
I'll finish up that quick story. So I'm in my Cadillac. This guy's kicking a dog. So I went around the block, turned right, and came back, and I got out of the car. And I said, man, you can't do that one more time. Took the dog from him. I said, what other animals do you have inside the house? He said, well, I got a snake. I said, well, you go back and kick the snake if you want. I don't care, but I'm taking the dog from you. Here's my name. Here's my address. If you ever get off the dope, if you ever get off the alcohol, if you ever become a man, call me. You can have my dog. You can have your dog back. Kept that dog for 1 year, and he went to Arizona to be clean and sober. He called me up and said, I'd like to bring my wife and kids down. May we have our dog back? I was absolutely pleased that he straightened his life out. I said, come down to my shop, and the dog will be there. He got out of his car, clean and sober, wife, two kids. The dog went up to him. He reached down to pet it, T-Rod. The dog sunk his teeth to the guy's forearm, blood everywhere. And I looked at him, and I said, go ahead. Just make the wrong move. Go ahead. And he said, Mr. Kennedy, I deserve this. I'm hoping I can win the dog's trust back. The dog ran to the kids and the mother, and they moved back to Arizona with the dog. Just sometimes you got to do things which you think are right, in regards to the consequences.
Yep. Absolutely, man. You know what? I'm a big advocate for animals, man. Kathy, you know, she's a vet tech, so she works for animals, you know. You know, you think the guy that's got a bike shop and all that shit will have a pit bull and stuff. I got a Chihuahua, and she's a Chihuahua and a Jack Russell mix. And I tell you, right now, I'd jump in front of a fucking train for that dog. And I wouldn't jump in front of a train for some people, but I'd jump in front of a train for that dog. And Kathy delivered her, and we brought her home after 3 weeks. And that little dog has been in my life. And I was at Auburn, and everybody was like, hey, man, you want to stay another night and party with us? I said, no, you know what? I miss my chick, and I miss my dog. Fuck all you guys. I'm out of here. I drove 8 hours because I miss them both, you know what I mean? And you know, there's nothing I wouldn't do for that dog. You know, the dog got sick. I took her to the emergency care, you know, and you know how everybody's fucking all paranoid now with terroristic threats and everything. And I said, hey, if this fucking dog dies, I'm going to burn the place down. My old lady says, honey, you better just wait outside, you know? But I was serious.
I'm not the only one who says that. Yeah, I'm not the only one who says that about.
You know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's how it is with me and my little pooch, you know?
We got a short break. Can we go back to racing, or when are you going to go out the track again?
Tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night. The whole time we've been on the phone, I took a McCooney 42 and put in a McCooney 45 and changed the jets. Got the air cleaner going on, and we're going to fire this thing up in about 10 minutes to make sure it's running good. And we'll load it up ready for tomorrow. Yep.
At your shop?
What's that?
You have some up-and-coming event shop? Illusion?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, we have that party for Wink. You know, that's our big shindig coming up. You know, on the 26th.
I got a message today about you guys are remodeling at the shop.
New grand opening.
Yeah. We're gonna have a new grand opening. We took over another side, and the guys are doing wiring right now, rewiring the offices and everything, and. We got a whole other side to the shop. We have a mezzanine with choppers up on top. And, you know, we're just kind of getting a little fancier over here. We have apparel in the front and a boutique. KO is going to run a boutique out here. We sell riding gear and T-shirts and things like that. So, yeah, we're kind of going, focusing a little bit more in our retail store, you know.
Is it about two months, T-Rod?
Yeah, it's a couple months we'll have a grand opening. Rusty's band's gonna play, so we'll have a little bit of, you know, have some food and some fun, you know.
Yeah. So you figured about 2 months or sooner than that? I didn't hear the answer to that one for the reopening.
No, two months. About 2 months, because we're repainting everything, and we're gonna have some race bikes hanging on the walls and things like that. It's gonna be kind of cool, man. It's gonna have a little bit of everything, a little bit of racing, a little bit of history, some cool metal shaping tools, you know. We spend most of our life inside this place, so we might as well make it a little more comfortable, a little more us, you know.
Yeah. A lot of people don't know at our shop, I have a second story, which is really a one-bedroom, because sometimes you're working late, you don't want to go home. Go upstairs and crash out and just get a little bit of rest to make you feel better.
Absolutely, Absolutely. Sometimes you're having so much fun, you don't even want to go home. Going home gets in the way.
Hey, Rod, I'm closed on Mondays, and I'm going to tell you, every now and then, if I got no special family thing going on, I want to drive down the shop, open the door, turn the music up, and I don't care if the phone rings all day long. I don't care. I just want to soak up the ambiance sitting there with the motorcycles. Sometimes I have a project. Sometimes I just want to sit there. T-Rod, can we unmute?
Yeah, he's unmuted.
T-Rod, I want you to meet Merlin, a friend of ours. He's traveling around America. Merlin, are you with us?
Yeah, I am, Bill.
Listen, I'm talking to T-Rod, a good friend of ours. What state are you calling me from first? I'm always curious.
Actually, I'm in Arkansas, but I'm heading back in towards Memphis tomorrow.
You listened to about T-Rod about his racing, the speedway, and the sidecar?
I caught a little bit of it earlier. We got a series of real serious thunderstorms and tornado watch stuff going on. So I've had to duck a little bit tonight. It's been hell on wheels, actually. But
I got a really good friend of mine that lives out there in Arkansas. He's from Riverside. His first name is Bill, but I'm not going to say his last name because he's actually on the run. That's why he moved to Arkansas. But he's telling me about the lightning and the thunder and everything, and it really gets down over there, man. It's crazy.
It really is interesting because there's not much like it at all in the coast, even in Riverside County, which gets pretty heavy. The 2 minute roll, where it's like a drum roll for 2 minutes, is real amazing to me. D-Rod, you've been racing sidecars, and I caught just a little earlier that there is no real American sidecar team that works world class.
Well, there is about 10 teams over here that we're racing now.
Okay.
And bikes are up to par. The bikes are really good bikes, but we have never competed on a world final.
No.
We've never represented the United States, and up till last year, we didn't have our bikes weren't up to code, up to the rule book of their specs, you know. So we actually formed the American Sidecar Racing Association, and Joe Jones and some of the guys have been racing here for 6-7 years. Went ahead and put together a rule book with the rules that are up to par with the world rules, and that was just around the time that we were building our bike. So we said, okay, let's build it right from the get-go. Let's put the right wheelbase, the right length, the right everything on it, the right CCs and everything, and build this bike to par. So if we get a sponsor that's willing to help us get there, we can get there and compete.
Cool. There in Oceanside who he's a Scotsman, Perry Clark, and he raced side hacks there in Scotland for a number of years in the 60s and 70s. And I've been fortunate enough to go to a little sidecar racing, and unfortunate enough to have had a friend that just was killed. He ran out of corner on his sidecar in the roads to the desert there. But it's a fascinating sport, and now that I understand a bit more about the handling of a hack, it's you guys are good, because that is a thinking man sport. There's not a whole lot of instinct in it. You have to be thinking constantly, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it helped out because we both, Gene and I, both raced Speedway for a couple of years. So we got to learn basically the dirt and learn what the dirt's going to do. So we had a little bit of advantage on the guy that would just come in green. But you have to constantly be up on your tire pressure, your gearing. Because all these bikes are tire pressure and gearing. If you have the right gearing and the right tire pressure, you will go. You know what I mean?
But I mean, just as you start into a corner, the bike reacts different on a right hand under power than it does on a right hand off power, and then you come on, you know, into a left hand, it handles completely different from a right hand, you know, depending on which side the chair is on. That as I began to learn how to ride myself, I realized that, man, the relative simplicity of the two wheel motorcycle. The instincts are the same, right to left, and with a chair, they're not. You have to understand that machine in that corner, period, and be thinking about it constantly. And
yeah, absolutely, absolutely. As the night progresses, the dirt changes, so you got to.
Yeah.
T-Rod, hang on with. T-Rod, Burley, can you tell us?
Yeah.
You really are a rocket scientist, aren't you? I want T-Rod to know who he's talking to.
Yeah,
really
yeah.
Good job,
I
right?
I really am.
Okay, T-Rod, back to you again. I traveled across America on a Harley, but he was a rocket scientist, for real.
That's fucking cool, man. That's fucking cool. You
a
know
lot of helicopters and one of the, you know, some space shuttle stuff and a lot of helicopters and the highest, fastest remote piloted drone in history still.
Wow.
Mach 4 at 100,000 feet. That was, you know, I've been able to play with some cute toys.
You know, I got a friend of mine that races Speedway. His name is Mike Wiley. He's from San Diego, and he works for Northrop Grumman, and he's in the drone program. And he just got back from Afghanistan. He did a 6-month tour out there as a civilian, working on the drones out there.
Yeah. Yeah, Northrop and I are arguing about whether I work there or not. They seem to have lost all the paper. Yeah, I'd like my retirement from them, and they seem to have lost everything. Fortunately, I've still got some of my.
It's funny how sometimes. Yeah. Well, those things are the way of the future, from what I understand, you know?
Well, you always walk away from a crash. You know, if you lose one and crash it, you get up, you walk over to the refrigerator, grab a beer, and have somebody hook another one up and run it so you can fly home. Drone pilots always walk away from a crash.
What's cool is that you don't have to pay for the damage either.
Yeah. Hey, I bent it. Give me another one.
Yeah. Write me another check. Here we go again.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know what? These things are pretty trippy, man. It's like it reminds me of I used to drive a boat when I was in the river and stuff. How you have to read the water, you know?
You see the
water was shallower and deeper by the ripples on the water. It's the same thing on the racetrack, man. If you get inches from the groove, from the line that you got to go through, you're fucked. Basically, your bike's gonna just slide around and you're gonna go out and hit the wall and make a mess out of yourself, mess out of the bike.
Yeah.
But so you gotta like constantly read that racetrack, you know what I mean? The dirt's gonna tell you where to go, basically.
Yeah. I had the good fortune to camp above the rim of a sportsman quarter mile oval in, I guess it was Minnesota last year. And it was this in the middle of the summer and the county fair, and they had this big dirt track. And I camped up on the top, on the ridge above, so it looked down on the thing. And watching them race from an overhead view like I had, boy, you knew. And I could watch the track change lap to lap, but definitely from, you know, every couple of heats, you could see the track change. And as each car would go out, and these are four-wheel, 700-horsepower, you know, just the barest essentials of a body. And, boy, they would spot that groove. And they get into some serious rubbing is racing when they start looking for the groove, because they want to hold that slot. Above it is chewed up and below it is slick. And you're right. It's fascinating to watch it that way and realize these guys are doing 120, 130 miles an hour sideways and trying to pick a 6-inch wide groove.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, when it's just you in the car, that's one thing. But when you got another guy you got to communicate with without talking.
Yeah.
That's the fun part there, buddy.
They still call him the monkey?
Yeah, they call him Monkey Swingers. He doesn't care. He's sure enough of himself to you call him anything you want.
Bring me back unbroken and just don't call me late for dinner. Yeah.
Yeah, just pick me up and put me back on my bike kind of attitude, you know what I mean? That's what you got to have when you do this crap, you know?
God, yeah.
Marilla, I'm glad you called in tonight, because I want to tell you, I'm going to pick your brother up, Ricky, from the hospital on Saturday. They replaced his knee and they replaced his hip. He's going to be resting up for 30 days, and he's going to go back in and get the other leg repaired or whatever with that. So he's doing okay. And I'll pick him up Saturday, and I'll take him back to my place while he rests up.
You know, Bill, I really want to thank you for keeping me informed on Rick. And you have been the brother and family that you've been the brother and the family to him. Let's put it that way. I know he's thanked you, but I really want to thank you, too. You have been just an outstanding friend and godfather to him. Yeah.
Eulogy. Bill Kennedy, Hello? He was a good man.
Rod's blowing out the clutch right now. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Can we hear that again? Is that possible?
Hear what? Oh, yeah, he's
just
blowing it out with air right now.
The bike up?
We're going to fire it up here in a little bit. We're just cleaning the clutch right now.
Let us know, yeah.
Yeah.
So, Merlin, anyway, thank you for the nice words, Merlin. But, you know, there's nothing humble about me, but I've never appreciated people saying too many nice things about me. So,
yeah.
I'm not shy or anything else, damn it. I just don't, you know. But thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
T-Rod had something to say.
T-Rod, you back again? You still with us, T-Rod?
Here, hold on. Let me, let me get you. Here's T-Rod right here.
Dry air.
Hey, fellas, I'm sorry. I had to do this real quick. But I'll talk to you guys in a little while, okay?
All right.
T-Rod, best of luck and everything. And
thanks for calling, T-Rod.
We'll get together soon.
Thanks
for it all. I'll see you on the rallies. Okay, brother?
Okay, we'll see you soon.
Nice talking to you too, pal.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
You just take care.
All right, now.
Bye-bye.
Merlin, you still with us?
Yes, I am.
Again, I thank you for your nice words, but...
Well,
you know, I've always done better on stage in front of the TV cameras, giving awards out to other people. There's no false humility here. I've just,
I would like to think you know how highly I regard you, all kidding aside. And I know how much Rick loves you as the big brother or godfather or uncle or just the guy that he's been able to rely on almost all his life. And you and Kathy have just been amazing to Rick, and I want you to know that it really is a lovely, lovely thing you have done for a very long time for a good man, and you didn't do it for a reward or a pat on the back. You did it for all the reasons you would hope somebody would do it for you, and I thank you.
Okay, sir.
And
we just received some information about some songs from, who's that, Screwdriver?
Stormy.
And what's our association with
Stormy Montana.
I met Stormy in Nashville a couple of weeks back. Met her and her mother at the.
Are you sure?
Sweetheart.
I seen a picture of those two together.
What, Merlin and Stormy?
Yes.
Yeah, she's the cute one. Trust me. She is She's an absolute sweetheart.
Oh,
and,
she's live right now with you. If you want to say hello to her, brother.
No, she's
sorry, hang on. Oh, it's a song for Stormy. Okay.
No,
go ahead.
Stormy's mother was on. Stormy was unavailable, and they're going through the same thing. She had to leave because of.
For the cows.
No, that was Kasha.
God, I'll never get them all right.
Sherry said there's a bad storm coming in, and she lost the connection.
Yeah.
So what I was going to do, Merlin, you got time to listen. I'm going to play one of her songs. I promised I'd play one.
Yeah, have you critique it, okay, sir?
Which one would you like to hear?
Oh, God. List a couple of one you got, because I'm trying to remember the one that I really, really liked when she was playing live.
We have We Go Together, Barstool Logic, Billy Hilly, True Love and Homegrown Tomatoes, I Will Run For You, Sing This City Home, A Woman Scorned, Love Don't Happen, Times Like This, Biker Chick, The One That Got Away, I would say The One That Got Away, but Ripple in the Water, Someone Like Me, Heart on Ice, and The Weary Angel.
You pick out the one, Merlin.
You pick it out.
I'm thinking Someone Like Me is one of the ones that I heard, but nothing. Oh. She doesn't do anything but exceptional.
Okay,
this is a young lady who's looking forward to being 18 and starting art college. And she has this career building up. She's an amazing young lady.
She'll be starting college out here in California.
Oh, outstanding. Then let's, Rose, stay with us, brother, and we're going to kick up Someone Like Me by Stormy Montana. Merlin Bianco's personal friend, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, yes. And her mom, too.
Impossible manager of the future. He's ready. And the mom, too. You're right.
Oh, she's got some far smarter people than I'll ever be starting to work with her. And she's very smart and very capable.
And yet she still says nice things about you, huh?
She did. Yeah, she actually thought I was cute. So she's blind.
Okay, here we go, Merlin. Someone Like Me by Stormy Montana.
I just call
Brother Merlin, what'd you think about that song?
Oh, yeah.
A little bit of...
Well, you guys have a sound system that gives it kind of a in-the-shower effect.
If we had Mega Bucks and big sponsors...
Yeah, more than
we had one sponsor, even.
We're just two schmucks.
Two sponsors. She has an amazing voice when she sings. She doesn't sound 17. She sounds a little older, a little richer tone in her voice. Very, very clear. Rodney Dangerfield didn't have a clear voice. Judy Garland has kind of can have a real gravel to it, where it's very distinctive and very solid. Hers is a very clear, very precise tonation, and her guitar playing was equally clean and clear. Surprised me, and then when I found out that she really is as young as she is, there's a skill and almost like a wisdom to what she does. But there's a maturity to what she does and how she does it that just blew me away, literally just, knocked my socks off. I was sitting there about 12 feet away from her watching her sing at this party in Nashville, Charlie Baker's Feed America party. And he had warned me, you will be surprised how good she is. And Charlie is no slouch in his right either. And there was a couple of people there who listened. And they really, these are people that know deep inside the Nashville music scene, and they were going, oh, no, you don't understand. This is the next big female song, sorry, singer. This is Patti Page, Loretta Lynn. This is that caliber of talent and craftsmanship. And she is smiley and friendly and open to everybody. Her mom is a warm, sweet, caring person. It was very, very neat for me. If that's the only group of people I ever meet from Nashville music, there are amazing people there in Nashville. It's that simple.
Merlin, would you, without suiting your own horn and all that, would you tell us exactly who you are and what you're doing across America, and why is it that you run into friends all the time? A lot of it is because you're making new friends, like right on this show. But would you tell us a little bit about what's your statement, brother? What are you doing?
About 14 months ago, after 3 or 4 months of thinking about doing it, I rode out of San Diego, California, on a 95 Harley-Davidson Dyna Glide with everything I owned on the bike to go live on the road. And I called it the last road trip. Seeing America one suggestion at a time, I asked people for where should I go. Literally, I have visiting cards. At the bottom line on the card says, can you tell me where to go? And I have had people tell me, "Of you need to go talk to this guy. You need to go see this museum, this road. This city, there's a gator farm down here you got to go look at." An amazing variety of places and events. 3 days at a bluegrass festival in Idaho. Almost 2 weeks down here in a little town in Raverdon, Arkansas, trying to help work and plan a couple of motorcycle events. And in the last couple of days, it pretty much all blew up to where if it goes off, it will be just because people didn't get the word that it can't happen. But
Merlin, you're doing some odd jobs here and there, but you're traveling to meet you're traveling to meet Americans. You're traveling to see America. So if I'm from another state and I think, by God, this man sounds an interesting person, I want to invite you to my state. I want to invite you to my town. Sit on my couch or something like that. How can anybody reach you?
Like Charlie Baker did. Well, Charlie Baker reached me through the Phil and Bill show. And I thank you for that, because Charlie and his lovely better half. I'm on Facebook, Merlin Bianco. My email is MerlinBianco1, MerlinBianco1, the digit 1, at juno.com. And you guys are free to pass that anywhere somebody asks for it. I don't hide anywhere, unlike the politicians that, you know, make our lives so interesting. I gave up trying to hide things. You guys have my phone number. If somebody actually wants the phone number, give it to them. I've dealt with some of the people, several people through the show. Terry Hardy, Charlie Baker, met Stormy. I'm looking forward to Pete in Boston and Jan, North Carolina Bolt. Same thing. Looking forward to face-to-face with her.
Now, Brian, I got to say something. You're not exactly filthy rich because this cross-country trip
I'm down inside. Little odd jobs down inside my last $1,000 right now. In fact, I'm down inside it deep. In November, I turn 62, and I will hit the Social Security as hard and as often as I can, and that'll keep me going. But
Brother, let me get this straight, though. You're not crossing the country because you're looking for a handout. You're actually offering your hands.
He wants to do what he wants to do, Bill.
He's offering his hand to meet other people. If you think this is an interesting person, get in touch with this guy, Merlin.
I love Americans. A bunch of times not being sure who Americans were. I see Americans, they hurt and they'll give, all in the same breath. I don't have much, but whoa, you look like you could use a little more than you got. And, you know, I've bumped into some people that I've really backed away from because there's a con man or a dishonest thing there. But at the same time, I'll stand there and watch the guy, you know, con one guy and give it away to someone else. Most people that I have met have been warm, friendly, generous. Almost everybody is interested in what I do. It's as a friend of mine, Jeff Leader, he says, you know, you're living the dream. And he's right. And like all dreams, sometimes it's not exactly what you had in mind. Tonight trying to, you know, stay dry was one of those things. But that's part of it. And that's the adventure. God, it's been amazing.
Okay, Merlin, just surprisingly, or say nobody contacts you for the next couple of days, which way do you think you might take off on your own?
Actually, like I say, tomorrow I'm heading in towards Memphis, and then I'm working my way north. I am going to finish riding the Blue Ridge Parkway. Yes.
Hey, I got a special caller for you. Hello, caller from 713.
Hi.
You're live. Talk to us. We got Merlin Bianco on the air. And who's calling,
please? Hi, Merlin. It's Sherry Hussey. I'm Stormy Montana's mom.
Hi.
Tennessee. How are you?
I am good.
Stormy has a show tonight, or she'd be on here, but I called in to listen in. So you're headed up our way?
I'm going back into Memphis and then working my way east towards Appalachia.
Okay, I'm going to be in North Carolina at Crazy Shots with Charlie Baker on the 25th. That's next weekend. Maybe you can have it in through there.
Hang on a minute. Let me get a paper.
While he's doing that, this is Bill Kennedy. I want to ask you a question because Merlin's from North County here, San Diego. We rode many places, many parts of Mexico. And I want to ask you right now, was he a perfect gentleman around you two ladies?
Everyone there was a perfect gentleman. But, you know, I mean, that's usually the case. We don't have a lot of trouble around here. So, yes, he was a perfect gentleman. Everyone there was.
And, Bill, I'm offended you needed to ask, you know.
That's funny. We may have shown out. We may have acted a little ugly, but he was fine.
No, not at all. where in North Carolina is Crazy Shots? What city?
It's in Hillsboro,
you know?
Right outside of Raleigh-Durham.
I know exactly where Hillsboro is.
Yeah.
I actually got that tiny place.
You know, tiny?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Tiny's place.
And,
You guys got the rest of the show. Just keep talking to both of you. We'll just listen.
Well, I didn't mean to call in and get the rest. Stormy will kill me. She doesn't like Mama calling in and doing talking for her. But
Sherry,
you're not
Sherry,
talking
for her. Sherry, you're
Sherry,
not talking
what?
For her. You're talking for you.
Oh.
Merlin, hold on a second. Sherry, no.
Yes.
When we have people call in, they get the mic. You're not stepping on anybody. I'm glad you called. I'm glad we got to play a song. I'm glad you got to hear it on there.
I was going to tell you, she was 14 when she recorded that. She's seriously wanting to do a new project. So saying she sounded older than 17, she was 14 when she recorded that project. We're song searching right now and working on recording a new one. So hopefully she'll have some new music out here before too long.
Well, I was
perfect.
Absolutely amazed at her skill and the maturity of her tools.
She loves what she does, and
that showed through too. She loves her background. She wears the domino, and she loves her background and what she's doing. And she's remarkable. She really is. You have done well, without a doubt.
Well, she's a sweet kid. She really is, and knows who her family is, if you know what I mean. She knows where where she fits in. But the Nashville music scene's not always real receptive to that. The country music scene's not. But you know, she's just country. That's and kind of bluesy.
Yeah.
She likes that kind of thing. But
yeah.
We're hoping she'll get a deal here one of these days. She's working hard for it.
Well, from what I heard with Charlie, and then I'm trying to remember the other the older guy that was there who had so many years, and he was blown away by
Razzie Bailey.
You know, good.
I had never met him before, but he seemed like a really great guy.
Yeah, and both of these guys are going, no, we've got to, and not just help her get going, but to actually kind of act as a little bit like bodyguards also. There was
Stormy has a lot of volunteer bodyguards. That's funny.
Hey, Merlin,
these guys,
Merlin, I met Charlie. We promote a lot of Charlie's music. We promote a lot of Attica 7 music. We promote a lot of, we just hooked up with Frank Palangi, and we've hooked up with Stormy. And you guys are going to be in rotation. It just goes with sometimes the music, depending on the topics we're on and which way we're going, sometimes it's going to be hard rock, sometimes it's going to be soft rock, and sometimes it's going to be music like Stormy's or Charlie's.
Now, screw that, our show is archived an awful lot. Can you tell these people approximately how many countries
We're in 38 countries right now, and we also have Australia and Canada. We've had people tune in from all over the world tonight. We had some trouble with Evil E calling out of London, the weather, and we lost some people. We had Greeley, Colorado on. We had Albany, New York. We got Merlin. He's in where he's at, where you're at, and we're just plugging along here.
A lot of people do not want to get on and speak. They want to just listen. So I assure you, you have no idea how many people listen to your daughter's song tonight.
Well, thank you so much, and I know she appreciates it. We really do. She's got to come on herself. She just hasn't gotten together with you and gotten that scheduled. And to tell you the truth, we kind of got y'all kind of mixed up with the Northeast people there. There's several.
Well, I talked to Charlie today, and what I'm trying to do is hopefully when you guys are together in North Carolina, we can get a phone call going where we can talk like we're talking now. I'll schedule the show. We'll talk like we're talking now. It'll be in the archive, and then when I do this show, I can play the interviews.
Oh, that would be really cool.
Yeah,
she would love that. Well, thanks for playing her music. I really do appreciate it and supporting her. That means a lot to me, and I know it means a lot to her, and it means a lot to a lot of people around here too, because we're in a little tiny, you can't get any more from where we are. We're in a little bitty country town up in the middle of nowhere, so we're kind of up on the Kentucky line. We're not near Memphis. I know Merlin said he was down around Memphis right now. You be careful down there. You're riding into some storms if you're riding up this way.
Yeah. But that's the nature of the beast. And, you know, I do pay attention to it, and I appreciate the advisories always.
And kind of mind the company down there too. But anyway, you're headed up in a better area, I think, if you're headed north. So
yeah, okay. I'm looking forward to running the Blue Ridge in Appalachia, and it's been 40 years since I've been in the area down here, so I am absolutely having a ball. It's been old home week. I found the bar that I frequented in Clemson is gone now. They tore it down, so. You know, bad enough my airplanes that I built are in museums, but the bar is gone too. So,
oh man,
you start.
Goodness.
Well, you feel.
Sherry, I want to ask one question. We're gonna close out the show. You know which songs you send me. Which one would you like to hear to close us out? And I'll let you introduce it before I play it.
Oh man, don't ask me that. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know which one you like. I don't have any idea.
Since she wasn't available tonight, I'll extend an invitation to Tuesday to all three of you and anybody else that's listening. We want you to come back. We like you when you come back. And I'm going to play the one that got away, and that's going to close us out. So Bill and I would like to thank you guys for listening. Stick around and listen to the song. We'll say goodnight after the song.
All right.
And thank
so
you
much.
Guys for doing what
Be
you do.
Be careful, Merlin.
Thank you, Sherry. You too. Give her my
Bye-bye.
Best if I don't hear
her.
I
will do that. Maybe we'll see you in North Carolina.
I'm looking forward to it.
Here we go. The One That Got Away by Stormy Montana.
good way to end the show tonight, Joe.
Yeah, exactly, Bill.
Excellent.
And,
excellent.
I just, I'm going to put you on the spot. What do you think?
Oh, the girl's voice is so much more, I don't want to say sophisticated. The voice is much more advanced than her age is.
I agree.
With that. You can't pitch that girl being
thank you, guys. I appreciate it. I'm still on here.
She's a remarkable lady and a remarkable talent. It's just amazing. I look forward
to it's so hard to get broken into the music business these days. Music is free, and it's just hard to do, but she loves it. And I appreciate y'all supporting her. I really do. She's going to be thrilled. I called her. She was on stage. I called her, and I said, they're playing your music on the microphone. And she said, oh, shit. I said, yeah. So it tickled her. It really did. And then I really made her mad and told her that you posted that video of Opie from Sons of Anarchy, and she said, oh, man. I said, well, you can see it when you get home. So that's her favorite show. So anyway.
And
well, you can
Bill,
tell her
she is home.
Do what?
What you can tell her is that we know those guys personally.
Yes, they're at my motorcycle shop a couple of weeks ago. We did an event last weekend with them. We're quite often with them.
She is.
You know, guys, I got to tell you.
You know, I mean, she really is. She is a huge, huge fan. As a matter of fact, one of them, I think it was the little guy that plays Jax, is supposed to be in North Carolina, and I don't think she can go. It's at the Easy Rider rodeo thing they're having in North Carolina. And one of the guys out there asked her if she wanted to come and said that, you know, we could come and go with her, but she's not 18, so I don't know if she can get in. I told her, I said, I'll get you a fake ID. You know, I mean, I'll do that. That's just no problem at all. But anyhow, I don't know if we'll get to go to it. But she would die to get to meet any of them. She watches their show. We've got all the DVDs of them and watch them over and over and over. She loves it. But
so if you go on my Facebook page, Sherry, if you go on my Facebook page and you go down at the bottom.
We're not on radio now. We're not. Nobody can hear this, right?
We're being archived right now. So what I'm saying is if you go down to my Facebook page and at the bottom, you'll see my phone number.
Okay.
You can call me.
Okay.
And we'll see because I'm going to talk to Charlie. If I tell Charlie who to talk to while he's in North Carolina, you might be able to get carte blanche at the Easy Rider show.
We got friends with their managers and all that, so maybe we can help you with that a little bit there. I want to say goodnight to all of our new, to our old friends. I have a special request tonight to my friend Merlin. Bio con Dios, amigo. I'll see you soon, okay?
Muy bien. Buenas noches. And
okay, good night, guys. Thank you.
Bien, brother, bien.
Night.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.